In this episode of Podcast Tactics, you will get practical podcasting advice, including tips on how to give great interviews. Today's guest created a show that shares the harrowing stories and the ultimate triumphs of women who have experienced challenging pregnancies and births. Remember to join the mailing list at podcasttactics.com so you can keep learning about podcasting, get inspired, and stay motivated. I'm James, the host of Podcast Tactics. Thanks for listening in. Let's get into it. Joining me right now is Paulette from Northern California. Paulette, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Let's dive right in. What's the name of your podcast and what's it all about?
It's called War Stories from the Womb. And it is about women sharing their experiences of getting pregnant, being pregnant, and giving birth. And kind of the focus of the podcast is on the difference between their expectation of that whole process and their actual experience. So I get stories that range from, you know, I was hoping for a natural birth with no anesthesia, and I had to get a C-section, and this is all the kind of things that I went through in that process, to, you know, I had an ectopic pregnancy that nearly killed me. So there's a range of experience, but the unifying theme is that everyone expected, almost universally, people say what they expect is kind of what you see in the movies, like, you know, a beautiful bump and I'll be so happy and I'll, you know, be glowing. And, you know, it is a very, it's like not at all a useful narrative about what actually happens, but it is seated in everyone's head. So everyone comes to it with that kind of picture.
It's a powerful message, you know, the kind of ideal versus the reality of it.
It is. And I find most women who are unhappy with their experience, it's in part because of that disconnect, right? What they expected would happen didn't happen at all, because it's not really how any of this goes, right? It's such a transformative experience, and it's so kind of massive physically and emotionally in ways you can't predict. I find it's useful to talk about it, because I think we would all be, I have two daughters who are teenagers, and I want them to have a more realistic view about kind of what is involved. And if, you know, if it's all butterflies and rainbows, great. You know, it's even better than you could have imagined, right?
What was the origin of the podcast? How did you come up with the idea?
Probably not surprising to you. I had trouble getting pregnant, trouble being pregnant, and not an eventful birth. And my kids are 18 and 16, so it happened a while ago. And I was pretty medically well-versed, because I had a bunch of medical issues in my past, and my father's a doctor. And so I had some experience with the medical community, but we had a super rare problem. It turned out I had an autoimmune problem that I didn't know I had.
Oh, wow.
And autoimmunity and pregnancy don't usually play well together.
So you found out about this autoimmune deficiency when you got pregnant?
In the middle of the pregnancy, something was wrong with the fetal heart. And it's at a time when it was supposed to be 120 beats per minute, it was 50.
Oh my goodness.
And they kept saying, like, oh, she's definitely going to die. This is not, you know, this is not a viable thing. And then we went for 12 weeks with she's definitely going to die, with all the things that involves. And I have written about it extensively. My sort of primary job is as a writer. And I've written about that and immunology and pregnancy in other contexts. And I wrote a book about it. And in doing all that research, you know, I thought I can't, even though my particular experience is very unique, it's, you know, one in 22,000 is the occurrence of my specific problem. And I think, like, you know, congenital heart problems are super common. The heart's like the first organ to be formed. So it's in there a long time cooking, and a lot of things can go wrong, right?
Yeah.
So I just thought that there other people must be having this experience. And if you're like I was, which is ultimately lucky to bring home a baby, you know, you don't really get to process it, because now you're feeding and changing and, right, doing all the infant care, which is, you know, unbelievably hard work. And I just thought, this is not, you know, the more research I do on pregnancy, the more I realize there's not that much known about it. Even among the scientific community, you know, it boggles my mind that we're half the population And it, there's something like, you know, I'm not sure I entirely trust the estimates, but they suggest that 10% of the population is infertile.
Oh, my goodness.
So 90% of us are going through this. And there's still like an amazing dearth of information about every single thing, every condition, every, even how pregnancy works when it works. And so that I think is something to be addressed.
You know, you're providing a lot of value with, you know, the just presenting this experience for women realistically, you know, and sharing women's stories. You know, you're not idealizing it. I got from the episode that I listened to that, you know, it's a very straight conversation that you're having about these experiences.
Yeah, I mean, there is selection involved in the people I'm choosing. So every single person has been successful, in quotes, in some way. So even if you had like an ectopic pregnancy that obviously is not viable, they went on to have kids. So there is, you know, it's not all doom and gloom.
Sure.
And most of it is really focused on the overcoming, right? We had this super challenging thing happen and this is how I managed it. And, you know, now we're on the other side of it. And I look back and think how grateful I am to be where I am now.
As heavy as a topic as this topic as this is, ultimately, it seems, and again, I only listened to one and I'm looking forward to listening to more, but ultimately, it seems that the end result is an uplifting, positive, you know, outcome.
Yeah.
Talk to me about how you get your guests to come on the show. How do you locate them? How do you approach them?
So I think it will be tricky going forward. And I think I got lucky in the beginning. My sister lives in Madrid. And she is very entrepreneurial and is a part of, 10 Facebook groups or something. And I wrote up a little something and she posted it in her groups and I got an overwhelming response. So, you know, from two posts, I got 200 people who wrote me who said, I want to be on the podcast. And I would say like 90% of them, it totally works out. Like it is a story that, you know, is something that you should share, right? And in the other cases, like one person, for example, had something that sounded like medical malpractice. And I was like, I can't, like, that's a totally different thing. And it's, you know, undoubtedly a trauma that you have overcome. And that's amazing. But I don't want that to be the focus because that's a different thing. And for the most part, even though, you know, we had many ups and downs in our own experience. And like, I went on, the doctors put me on the medication and only later when I got all my medical records did I see that they had listed it as experimental, which they did not share with me. But, you know, I fundamentally think they're all trying to help me, right? They're all these doctors and nurses, they're all trying to help us get to the place we need to get to. And so there's no like malevolence or anything, but, you know, that's a little squidgy, right? I have been doing a ton of research on my own and I ended up getting off medication against medical advice, just because I wasn't comfortable with it. But that's a little bit of a different issue, right? That wasn't like the driving force or whatever. So far I have probably 25 interviews kind of in the can in some point in the process.
Yeah.
And those all came from the initial Facebook posts.
That's amazing. When did you start your podcast? Remind me, please.
Well, I didn't release it till January 2021.
Okay.
But I started interviewing in September of 2020.
Okay. And is that around the time that initial message went out around September?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then so it just flooded in. And ever since then, you've been setting up interviews and meeting people, hearing their stories, putting together the episodes.
Exactly. And now I have put like a sign up sheet on the War Stories from the Womb website, but I haven't gotten much traffic there. So
yeah,
I may have to go back to Facebook to find more people who are willing.
I want to acknowledge you for putting up a website. I looked at it. You did a great job. That's my background.
Oh,
I'm a web developer and a project manager for a web development company. Did a fantastic job with it. It is it's a nice central place to point people at to, you know, learn more about you and, you know, your podcasts. So not everybody does that. So, you know, take home message here, you know, get a website up, folks, because, you know, it's the central repository for accessing all of your episodes and other things, too.
Yeah.
So well done with that, Paulette.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Talk to me about the challenges that you've had with putting your podcast together.
I think, you know, there are kind of like mundane ones, like getting good sound or, you know, sometimes. I'm totally going to copy the email that you sent to me where you had like tips about, you know, make sure you're in a quiet room. So I have one episode, which I'm going to air pretty soon, where it was a pretty good story, but her cat is walking on her desk, like while she's talking to me, and you could just hear this weird crunching the whole time. And I have no idea how to get rid of that. So there's sort of those things. And then, you know, everyone responds to kind of trauma and difficult circumstances in their own way. So it is a little bit of a challenge to step softly enough around those things so as not to, you know, kind of say the wrong thing.
Yeah, absolutely. In the episode that I listened to, I was impressed by your ability to do that. I mean, it's, you know, there's no spoilers, by the way. I do want people to listen to your podcast. The episode that I listened to was super compelling. We'll talk more about that in a little bit, but your interview style, I thought it was super, very natural. And I wanted to ask you, do you have a background in interviewing, or is this your kind of your first foray into, you know, interviewing people?
I'm certainly not formally trained by any stretch of the imagination. I did it a little bit at like my first job out of college.
Okay.
But I, you know, I'm many years out of college now. And so I'm sure I was completely bumbling when I did it, but it wasn't necessarily scary to me because I had done it before. And for the most part, you know, I'm mostly letting the women tell their story, right? It's mostly them. And actually, one thing that's interesting about this kind of interview is many women have shared their birth story before. So this is a story they've told before. So they kind of have it down. Mm-hmm. So it's unlike, you know, describing like an episode of a show or some kind of new experience, right? They've thought about it. So it's a much more linear process with most people.
How about successes with your podcast? What kind of successes have you experienced with it?
So there are two biggest successes are if a guest contacts me and says, I really like it, I'm happy for like a week. That is a huge thing to get because they're entrusting me with their story. And I am, you know, including medical expertise, and I'm also interviewing doctors that are relevant. And I'm very careful to say, like, you know, I don't want to step on anyone's ideas about stuff. So, for example, there's an episode coming up soon where the woman is hemorrhaged super prolifically. So she literally lost half of her blood volume in a hemorrhage, and she's afraid to get a transfusion. And so when I am interviewing the doctor's like, oh my God, they're totally safe. You have to be okay with getting a transfusion. And so I don't want to step on her. Everyone gets to do whatever they want with their own body in my mind. And so if you're not comfortable with it, that's fine. But I don't want to publicize a fear of transfusion, right? Because that seems tricky. So
It's kind of counter to what you're up to as well with your podcast.
So sometimes like you step on those things. So my other success is that with some women, I just interviewed a guest who had eclampsia and did not know. If you have eclampsia, you're at lifelong risk for cardiovascular disease. And actually, I interviewed a specialist at University of Chicago who studies preeclampsia. And she was great and did a great interview and was a lovely person to talk to. And she said, can I listen to the whole interview together before you send it out? So I let her listen to it. And she wrote me back and said, this woman has not in any way suggested that she's at risk. She may not know. You need to contact her.
Oh, wow.
And so I thought, you know, I wrote back to the woman and was like, probably you already know this and we just didn't talk about it, blah, blah, blah. But she had no idea.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
So that to me is a huge win, right?
Yeah.
That is
you saved her life.
Well, you know, it is like important information and it's not, and this woman lived in France. So maybe it's not, you know, conceivably people manage those issues differently. Although I would take the most conservative aspect of that. And the other day I was talking to someone like a social media manager, because that's not at all my skill. I don't know anything about her other than that she's a social media manager. And I give her this example. And she has had preeclampsia and no one has told her that she's at cardiovascular risk. So,
wow, that sounds like a really good kind of follow up to, you know, that latest episode that you have currently up where, you know, just FYI, you know, like get the message out because that's really surprising. You know, my assumption there would be like if that somebody went through an experience like that at the hospital, that somebody along the way would have disclosed that kind of information to them. And it doesn't sound like it has happened.
Yeah, it's a little bit shocking. Both of these people were out of the U.S. So the woman was in France and the social media manager is in England. So
Got it.
Maybe they just do it differently, but you kind of have to know that.
Yeah. I mean, in either case, you know, that's great information to get out there.
Yeah.
Talk to me about how you approach going into an interview. Do you outline? How do you prepare?
So originally what I was doing was having a Zoom call with people, and they would tell their whole story and I'd be typing it all out. So I'd type up notes.
As the interview was happening, you were typing it out?
Well, I wasn't taping this. This was like an informational.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And then I type up the notes and I write like show notes for them and like a skeleton of an interview just to kind of make sure it was linear. And then set another date. But what I found is people are very excited to tell you their birth story the first time and much less excited the second time.
Yeah.
So I ran into a couple things where the story was this amazing story, but either I caught them at a bad day or they didn't want to repeat the whole thing or whatever. So now it's a little more off the cuff. And now that I have done like 30 interviews, I have more kind of information at my fingertips about the more common issues. So I've already done that research and I can just... We're just having a conversation.
What kind of resources have you been using to improve the level at which you're either interviewing or the quality of your podcasts?
My main focus is on kind of information. And so I am doing a ton of research online. With each interview, there are medical issues. And so I'm doing a lot of research about those issues so that I can add some information. And in terms of trying to find the relevant expert, there's a lot of research that goes into that.
Okay.
As I said, like the technical aspects of it are not my forte. And so I'm sure I could be making it better with other technical.
Yeah, things. I guess that's really the root of my question, because when I listened to your episode, I did not detect any technical issues. And so I was curious, how did you go to YouTube and, you know, look up how to, you know, mic yourself up for a podcast?
So the original source is, as with many people, Pat Flynn, Power Up Podcasting. So I went through that training course and bought everything he told me to buy. And, you know, I am still using Zoom instead of Audacity. Uh-huh. I think there are probably better platforms that I could use, but the podcast is free and there's no income surrounding it. So there's a limit to how many things I can buy to make it better.
Gotcha.
If I win the lottery, I will, you know, do Zoomcaster or one of those rooms to make the sound so quality great and stuff like that. But today, those things are out of my reach.
I mean, I'm just going to acknowledge you for, you know, you're doing a great job as far as the quality, the sound quality of your podcasts, the editing.
Oh,
it's really nice. What is it that you want people to get out of listening to your show? Why should they listen to your show?
I think there's a couple goals. The first one is to really fundamentally change the narrative around how we talk about this enormous transition from, you know, being a person to a parent. So ideally it would help to further a conversation about that. So we're not all, even like, I think you probably have saw, what's her name? John Legend's wife. What's her name?
Ooh, I'm going to fail. I don't know.
She's super famous and she's a model and she seems like a fabulous person and she's got shows and everything. And she was public about her miscarriage. And there, you know, there was like a week of coverage about that, right? That should not be the case. That, you know, we should all be talking about it all, you know, in a regular conversation. It shouldn't be this shameful thing, which I sort of feel like it is. So I want to kind of normalize all that stuff so that we don't, you know, so many women say, I miscarried and I felt so guilty and what had I done? And, you know, the truth of the matter is 99% of the time, there's nothing you can do. And really one thing probably you learned from your wife's pregnancy is you really have limited control over anything, right? What that your body is on some kind of autopilot. And as long as you're not like shooting up heroin or, you know, smoking or something, like you're doing what you could be doing.
Yeah.
So that is one goal. And the other one, which is, I think, a little further down the line, is to kind of connect people who've been through it with people who are going through it. So when I was going through this, I would have loved to have someone I could talk to who could say, these are the scary things you'll probably encounter, but they work out, or do this or do that, or this is a mistake I made, or some kind of learning where I didn't have to learn everything myself. And so ideally, I would put people together so they can communicate and say, oh, I had preeclampsia and, you know, they told me all this scary stuff and this is what happened and this is how it was managed. And, you know, we haven't seen any evidence of cardiovascular disease, but I get checked every month or every year or whatever it is. So those are kind of the goals. So I would love for people to take away like more understanding of what it really looks like and to share our experiences to help each other get through it.
In terms of the future of your podcast, where do you see that 6 months, a year down the road?
That's a good question. I can imagine forming more of a community online so that it's easier for people to connect with each other, like something like Circle or a Facebook group or something. The other issue with that is that when I was going through it, I was so scared the whole time that maybe I was unreachable. Maybe you have to really be careful about who you talk to because you're already in such kind of a scary place that you probably don't have the bandwidth to manage someone who says kind of the wrong thing. Now, I'm imagining if we're all going through preeclampsia, there's something shared there and we all kind of know how to talk about it. But that would be the goal, is to have a bigger platform to put people together.
Let's go into an episode discussion. Let's talk about, I listened to The Fates Have Their Own Birth Plan, Jewel's story.
Yeah.
In your interview style, you seem to have this ability to draw answers out of your guest that your listeners are wondering about.
Yeah, it's a little bit tricky because some people like walk fast past the hard part. And, you know, I feel like, I guess you signed up for this. Am I being too intrusive to ask you to slow down with that? Or,
yeah,
you know, like, I'm not sure. So I'm thinking of one I have in mind that was also really dramatic. And she whizzed past part of the dramatic part and I didn't stop her. I didn't ask the question you would have liked to ask because I just had this feeling of like, this is going to upset her. And I'm not quite sure how to manage that yet.
At one point, you expressed an opinion, I felt like she made a decision. And again, I don't want to put any spoilers out there, but she made this decision and you were like, immediately, you know, I feel ambivalent about that. And I was like, yeah, you know, that was a powerful moment in that episode where I was like, wow, okay, you know, there's you know, you're injecting yourself in there and that's a risk, right? You know, and you did decide to keep that in.
It's definitely a risk. And it is, I feel a little bit like literally every single thing went wrong for us. So I have some, in the process of getting pregnant, being pregnant, giving birth. So I have some, I had miscarriages. So I have some sense of like what that feels like. So it's not entirely foreign territory, but I have in some of these interviews and I've left it in. You know, some women say, oh, I had this miscarriage and it was pretty early on and I wasn't that upset about it. And then I've said, oh, me neither. And then they go on to say, and then I had another one and I was crushed. And so then I feel a little bit like, okay, you know, sorry to
yeah,
jump on the earlier bandwagon since like, you know, we don't necessarily see this the same way.
The other thing that I really appreciated about your show too and how you transitioned into it was bringing the doctor in. You transitioned nicely over to the doctor interview. You know, she answered the question and then you transitioned back over into the episode again. And I thought that was really nicely done.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that is sort of my approach to saving myself during all that trauma was research.
Uh-huh.
And so that for sure is the lens through which I look at all these issues. And you know, Jules in particular had said no one in her hospital understood what had happened to her the first time. Right. They said, like, this can't happen. So to live with that uncertainty is a hard thing because how do I avoid something if I don't even understand how I instigated it the first time?
Yeah.
So I find it super useful to talk to, you know, this doctor in particular that I interviewed for Jules was fabulous. And she had a ton of answers and was very definitive, right? She was like, it's not unusual and this is how it goes. And I think that too is like a powerful thing for, you know, Jules and the rest of us.
Again, that episode, just from end to end, the storytelling, I mean, she, the incredible arc of yeah, of a story for her, you know, and ultimately, you know, as heavy as it is, you know, it was ultimately an uplifting, you know, story. So before we wrap things up, I have one more question for you.
Sure.
What is the best experience you've had happen because of your podcast?
I think the connection to all these women, that I'm listening to all these interesting stories. You know, there are smart people all over the world. All these women come from backgrounds I would never intersect with, and places I haven't been. You know, I interviewed a woman in Alaska. I'm never going to Alaska. And she's like a lifelong resident, right? So I totally appreciate mixing with all these people. And, you know, I'm putting up an interview soon where this woman seemed really young. She's clearly just unbelievably sharp, but also young, much younger than me and very young. And I would never have a chance to interact with her. And it was just, you know, I find all these people totally inspirational, right? They have all overcome these really dramatic things and are basking in the glow of their young children, and they love it. And actually, one thing I really like is you almost can't really tell how old the kids are from the interview. So I'm surprised every time when, like, the second interview is a woman with triplets, and I won't give away their age, but she's talking about it, you know, in a way that might make you think like her kids are one.
Uh-huh.
And they're not. And so that whole thing, I find, you know, that to me cements the idea that it lives with you forever, right? This is an experience that is like shaping for you and your children.
Oh, without a doubt.
It feels like a gift to get to share this with other people and to hear their story and what they did. And I really enjoy that.
Paulette, tell us where people can find out more about you and your podcast.
Sure. Thanks for this interview, James. We have a website called warstoriesfromthewomb.com. It's all one word. And you know, you can get the podcast anywhere you get podcasts, Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify. But the website has extended show notes. So if you were interested in one of the medical issues, I link to all the articles. I link to all the medical experts. And, you know, someday soon there will be a library of resources on there for all these different conditions.
Paulette, thank you so much for coming on the show. I do appreciate it. I do want to keep in touch with you, maybe even do a follow-up interview a few months down the road to see how things are going for you. Does that sound like a plan?
That would be great.
The name of the podcast is War Stories from the Womb. Paulette, thanks again. Best of luck to you.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, James.
Thanks again to Paulette. Check the show notes for links to learn more about Paulette and her show, War Stories from the Womb. Please share what you got out of my conversation with Paulette by leaving a review on podchaser.com. You can find out how to do this in the show notes. And do let me know what I can do to make this show even better for you. And make sure you follow Podcast Tactics to keep learning more about podcasting in future episodes. Thank you.